And the guy who would be describing all of that action that we hope happens over the next week and a half is the voice of the New York Mets, and he joins us right now, courtesy of Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly, the great Howie Rose. Howie from Citi Field, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Grab a gallon and tea proudly, and maybe 2 gallons tomorrow, because these guys are flying overnight to L.A. if they win today and tonight, so caffeine up.
What is your feeling on this series? I try to, like, think back to all the 3-1 comebacks, how they come out of nowhere, but obviously the Dodgers have beaten the Mets up the last 2 days. We know what happened in Game 1. What's your feel for where we stand right now going into Game 5?
You're going to hate me for this because it's going to replicate the worst, most mundane cliche that we hear in sports every day. But I'm not looking past today. And, you know, you hear it to the point of nausea. We have to play one game at a time. But there's a lot of truth in that because anybody goes out there thinking they've got to win 3 in a row tonight. Well, you can't win 3 in a row tonight. You can win tonight. And I asked Carlos Mendoza just within the hour, can you tell if there's a dangerous lack of focus within any of the players in that clubhouse to where they're, you know, getting the feeling that, all right, they're starting to check out. They think it's daunting. They know what's happened just the last 2 nights. But, you know, he maintains, not that I would have expected him to say anything else anyway, but he says, no, from the minute he got into the clubhouse, he says it's the same as it's been all year. They're joking around. They're laughing. He's already addressed the position players as a group. He doesn't do a whole lot of that. He tends to talk to them in smaller groups, but he's spoken to the position players. He's going to talk to the pitchers later, just you know, sort of take their temperature. But so far, he's not concerned that any focus has started to wane. When the game starts, we'll see. But, you know, again, the message is just stay on point and in the moment and don't worry about how steep the hill looks.
You know, Howie, it's interesting you say that because from a player standpoint, you're probably right. But from a overarching your opinion standpoint, doesn't it just feel like the Dodgers are just they're just better? Right, the guys who weren't performing early on in the series, the top of the lineup with, I mean, Otani was, but Mookie Betts and et cetera, those guys, once they start going on, aren't the Dodgers just better?
Well, they didn't win 98 games by mistake, but by the same token, Tiki, I go far enough back, of course, to remember 1969, the greatest year and always will be in the history of the franchise. By any objective measure, the Baltimore Orioles were better. They'd won 109 games that year to the Mets 100. They had, you know, great players all over the place. But the Mets beat them in 5. So I don't know that you could really look at that and use it as a determining factor as to, you know, what the mindset should be approaching the game. And I'm not blowing smoke, you know, to you necessarily, but just as a group, I have always been so incredibly impressed by the innate ability of a professional athlete to shut out what is considered outside noise, not to be necessarily overwhelmed by a situation that looks daunting, and just to go out there and maintain the tunnel vision that's necessary to get them through a particular game on a particular day. I'm just in awe of what you guys are capable of doing in situations like this. So, yeah, you look at it on paper. Of course the Dodgers, you know, stack up as the better team, but that doesn't mean anything in this series because there's 2 teams playing, and the other one feels they have just as much a right to be there.
And maybe I'm holding out hope. I go back, not that I remember this. This is just history, but I try to think of 1960 and say, can't this be Yankees-Pirates where, yeah, the Mets are losing every game by 8 or 9 runs, but they all count the same. Go win a couple of games by 1 run and write that kind of script.
Yeah, you know, they won't win it at home, obviously,
right.
But, you know, can you see the latter-day equivalent of Bill Mazeroski? Let's say Jeff McNeil hitting a home run, you know, in the, what would be the 9th inning, I guess, to put the Mets in front, and Diaz holding on to it. Yeah, that'd be great, but again, we're looking ahead of ourselves here, and I'd be lying if I said that World Series hasn't entered my mind the last 2 nights either.
Sure.
I think I might have mentioned it in one of the last 2 games, if only to create the historic perspective that, yeah, you know, there are series like that where one team dominates but only dominates three times and get beat the other four times.
You're right. Now, you mentioned the name Jeff McNeil. We're talking to the great Howie Rose, who'll be calling the game later today. This is tough. Like, at what point in the course of a series do you say, let me make some changes? Carlos Mendoza's made a few. Winker for J.D. Martinez, to me, he should have done 2 days ago. But what's your opinion on going to Jeff McNeil? He's only had three at-bats since coming off the IL, and replacing Jose Iglesias, who's obviously struggled over the last few weeks.
I asked Carlos, again, within the hour, if any of this was based on an observation that Iglesias has played so much more than anybody anticipated that he would. He's been playing every day down the stretch and into the postseason. And, you know, given his age, he's 34. I asked Carlos if part of this decision was the thinking that maybe it's caught up to Iglesias a little bit. And he really didn't think so. You know, it's just that he likes the matchup with McNeil. And it's not so much a roll of the dice as it is just calculated that McNeil can handle this. And, you know, you again fall back on the fact that Jeff did win a batting title just 2 years ago. He doesn't have hardly any experience at all against Flaherty, just 1-for-3 against him, so that's not a determining factor. You can call it a manager's hunch if you want. They always ascribe it to something a lot more detailed and calculated than that, but I think the time is right, to be honest with you.
Mm.
And you know, the other thing, I'm sorry. You know,
no, go ahead, keep going.
I think they needed a couple more left-handed bats in there. Again, Flaherty has reverse splits. I don't think that they're all that worried about that. Jesse Winker stung the ball once last night. I think on a different night, that ball probably leaves the park. Obviously, J.D. Martinez has struggled. And so, you know, Carlos is making the moves that I think make a lot of sense.
Howie, talk to us about David Peterson being put in this role where he's got to be the savior, so to speak, and he's going up against Jack Flaherty, who's been, you know, phenomenal. But David Peterson has, especially the last part of the season, has been exactly what you would want. Be used in any capacity possible, and he seems to have come through. But this is really high pressure right now.
Yeah, he's been in some high pressure situations in this postseason. And that, I think, is one of the reasons that they're so comfortable using him here. Remember, after the Mets came back in the ninth inning and took the lead in Milwaukee in the final game and did so as dramatically as they did with Alonso's home run and then tacking another run on, you know, Peterson, who's a sinker baller and has gotten a lot of outs with his sinker this year, you know, got a game-ending and series-ending double play. And he's, I think, established himself this year to an extent that the Mets had been hoping he would ever since they made him a first-round draft pick. And he's not a kid either. He's 28, 29 years old. So I think he's right for the moment. He is stretched out, even though he's been pitching primarily out of the bullpen lately. It's really not an issue. Carlos says he's probably going to have around 80 pitches or so today, which in a best-case scenario can get you as many as six innings. And believe me, he'd really like to get that kind of length out of Peterson. Now, if he's got to go long, if Peterson struggles early, Kodai Seng is probably the first guy out of the pen. If they're able to push Peterson towards the sixth and perhaps seventh innings, then it's a matter of mixing and matching based on the matchups, and I don't think you see Senga in that situation. Senga, to me, probably is only in a long relief role as opposed to getting a big out for you later in a game. But you never know. You know, again, that's where we're at right now. It's Johnny Holstaff behind Peterson.
Would you have considered sticking with that formula they used against the Phillies and they tried in game one of starting Seng and have Peterson coming in after him? Or were you ready to kind of say, forget this, let's just go to David Peterson?
Well, I think, and I said this on the air last night, that it's just my opinion that given what they saw from Senga in game one of this series, I just didn't think you could take the chance because you just don't know. He's at a point right now where essentially he's pitching a rehab game in the National League Championship Series. And, you know, to do it in the first game is one thing, but when your season is on the line as it is today, my opinion was and still is, and obviously theirs is the same, that it's too great a risk to take. And so run Peterson out there. If you've got to go to Senga because David falters early, so be it. But I'm all in on Peterson getting the start.
We're talking to Howie Rose coming up in about 2 hours, 10 minutes or so, Game 5 of the National League Championship Series between the Mets and the Dodgers. The Mets desperately trying to keep their season alive after losing the last two games against the Dodgers. It's tough. Being in the building, Howie, I felt like the crowds were great. And then it's just like the air comes out of the sails. And it's tough to maintain that energy and excitement when, A, it's cold out. And, B, even with a pitch clock, the games have taken 3.5 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, that's because this team walks so many stinking hitters.
Yes.
And the Dodgers are so patient. So, you know, that exacerbates an existing problem that the Mets have about walking too many. But, you know, I'm glad you brought up the atmosphere in the crowd last night, because you were at the ballpark last
yes.
night, Evan, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
so I doubt you were listening on radio while I was saying this. So let me ask you if you remember, and it was, I think, just before Mookie Betts hit the 2-run home run against Maton in the 6th inning. But the crowd suddenly started to chant, "Let's go, Mets."
Yes.
And it was right after the walk that Buto threw to Ohtani, which was the last pitch that Buto would throw. The crowd started, "Let's go, Mets." And I remember saying on the air that I think the fans recognizing that they were flat and that maybe the season was at the crossroads here, it's almost like subliminally they got together and started chanting, "Let's go, Mets," to try to revive the energy in the building, and then Mookie sapped it right out of that ballpark with a home run. I thought it was amazing, because I said that just before Mookie hit the homer, and I think I incorporated it into the call. So that's how it felt to me sitting in the booth with a headset on. Were you feeling it that way also?
1,000%. Like, you're trying to root this team on, and I thought it was cool that there was that energy, because I think what the fans recognized was, look, they're already trailing in this game 5-2, and runs are so hard to come by. If they're going to win this game, this is the biggest moment of the game. And so I think they were almost like fans are trying to will the Mets to victory. And then the other killer part was after Betts hits the home run, which takes the air out of the sails, the air comes back in because they put that rally together and have the bases loaded, nobody out, and the place was electric again. And then that was the ultimate, because they couldn't even get a run across.
Yeah, that was the end of it right there, really. Yep. And that's, you know, part of what happens when you go 0-10 with men in scoring position, as they did, and have got to figure a way to be better today.
Yeah, Howie, I don't want to be negative, but I just for the sake of talking about it, if this season ends tonight for the New York Mets, how is this team going to be remembered?
I think quite admirably. And it's interesting that you say this team and remembered, because, you know, whenever it ends, even if they go all the way and then win the World Series, whenever it ends, that's it for this group. Because, you know, the careers of players in given cities are ephemeral to begin with because of, you know, the transient nature of this game now. But in this particular clubhouse, there are a number of guys who are eligible for free agency at the end of the year. And some of the core players here, most notably, of course, Pete Alonso, but their best starting pitchers, Severino, 1-year deal, up. Manaea undoubtedly going to opt out. Free agent. Quintana's deal up. So this group knows that this is their one kick at the can. And if it doesn't end the way, you know, we all hope it does, you know, dramatically and magically and wind up down the Canyon of Heroes, even if it ends tonight, it'll sting for a little bit. You'll wish it could have been a better showing, at least in the National League Championship Series. But then when you're laying around in December or January and you think back on 2 or 3 weeks of sheer mayhem between the travel and the dramatic endings and the pressurized games, nothing that happens from here on out, in my opinion, is going to put even the trace of a negative slant on this team and what it's accomplished this year. It has been such a fun ride, and the most enjoyable ones are the ones we don't see coming, right? And nobody could have seen this coming. Forget about back at the end of May, but even as the summer transpired and they were trying to, you know, hang on and contend for a wild card spot, they fell 4 games back and you thought, all right, it's slipping away again, and that was in August. But somebody's going to write a book about a 10 or 12 day stretch from the first trip with the hurricane in Atlanta and the back and forth between Atlanta and Milwaukee and all of the dramatic endings. That's what I'm going to dwell on, those wonderfully dramatic, exciting moments that this team has given us, whether they take it all the way or not.
Well, let us hope that we've got more games to watch and more games for you to call. Game 5 today. Howie, we really appreciate you coming on before the game.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. The Great Howie Rose, presented by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly.